The reason we started the church was if you remember our vision statement from the beginning, is that we'd be a church that's reaching up and reaching out and reaching in, right? Reaching up in dynamic and passionate worship to God. Reaching out to the unchurched with a message of hope that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And reaching in through intentional discipleship and the study of God's word. And God, in 2005, put something in my heart that says, man, let's just start something different. And Integrity Christian Fellowship was birthed. And as we come together as a body, we're learning how to reach up and reach out and reach in. And as we're doing that, the result of that, or the fruit of this vision, the fruit of those desires are ministries, right? They're ministries that we're able to express our vision in. And they look all different kinds of ways. Man, so many of you would have been so blessed and so proud yesterday morning as the bus pulled up full of kids from the shelter. We had a total of 48 kids here yesterday. And I got to be honest with you, and I'm not even being melodramatic. When that bus pulled up and those kids started walking off the bus, my heart physically hurt for them. I just looked at their faces and thought of my own kids and all of the things that we have. And these kids who they don't know, you know, some of them don't even know who their parents are. And I just thought, man, what a blessing it is to be able to put a smile on their face, to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, to be able to have them sing and play. And man, we turned their lights on for a couple hours yesterday. And it was incredible. You'd have been so proud. It really was absolutely phenomenal. We poisoned them with McDonald's at the end of the thing. Sorry, Vin. But other than that, man, it was unbelievable. I was so proud. I want to encourage you, man, be a part of that. I'll tell you what, you realize when you're a part of something like that, you realize what's really important in life. You really do. I encourage you to get involved in it. There's a sign-up sheet in the back, but it was absolutely. Pastor Jim had said to me yesterday, he said, man, what was really cool is at first they didn't know where the food, you know, like the week of it, they didn't know where the food was going to come yet. You know, we got to feed 48 kids. They didn't know, you know, we didn't know how many people were going to. And so McDonald's had, they made, you know, reach out. I think maybe Tracy reached out to them, and McDonald's donated 150 hamburgers and 250 fries. And so the kids had McDonald's lunch yesterday. And then on Friday, he didn't know what they were going to do for drinks. And he's like, you know, we don't really have any money, you know, for drinks right now. And he didn't even tell us about it. And he's just like, well, you know, we'll see what happens. Totally out of the blue, the school calls him up. I said, hey, Pastor Jim, we have a whole bunch of cartons of little milk. Can you do anything with them? Yeah, I'm sure we could. We need them. Here we go. Bring them on. And remind me of the story of George Mueller when he did the orphanages. Amazing when you step out how God provides. Changes and transforms lives. But I'll tell you what, man, I think the people who were involved walked out at the very least, as blessed as those little ones. It's great. That's why we started the church. We started the church to share the love of Christ. And then we Tuesday night was real neat. It was our second week in a row of having our food pantry. Came out, that Lighthouse Mission showed up. We had a bunch of food, and we were able to feed 25, 30 families just Tuesday night. Just pulling into our parking lot between 4:30 and 5 o'clock, demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ in very practical, tangible ways. And it was wonderful. I want to encourage you, be a part of it. That's why we started this church. We started the church to be an extension to the community, to be an extension of the love of Christ to those who were in need. And the reason we started this church is we got young kids that I asked if they'd be able to hang out with us this morning just because they're real cool, and we wanted them in the service today because it's part of our desires to raise up young men and young women that know who they are in Jesus Christ and will raise the standard of what it means to be a person of honor, of integrity, a godly man and a young godly woman in this world today. And so we have things like Sunday school classes, and we have things like our Wednesday night Bible study with them, and we're going to be in the very near future bringing Awana to the church where we can continue to teach them. We have our Integra youth group where we get to, you know, get to know our kids and challenge them. And that's why we started the church. That's why we do things like VBS, not just to fill a program and just kind of have fun, although we have fun, But there's a purpose, because we want to be a church that's reaching up and reaching out and reaching in. And that's why I started the church, and God gave me this burden to want to do this. And so we started VBS, and we started all these other kinds of things. They're tools to accomplish a much greater goal, and that's to make great the name of Jesus in the minds of these young ones. Another thing that we do is we started our men's fellowship. Men don't know how to be men today. And I'm not just talking about here, and I thank God for the men of integrity that we have here, but I got to tell you, you're rare air. You really are. If you look at what's out there, and the guys who don't know how to stay committed to their wives, they don't know how to be there for their kids, they don't know how to be punctual and timely on their jobs, don't know how to be a light, you know, don't know how to be men of their word. And we started this thing in the beginning. We said, man, let's have men of integrity. That's why we named it Integrity Christian Fellowship, because there's such a lack of integrity. And we said, God, man, may we raise the awareness in this area of Long Island so people would know that integrity and Christian are two words that ought to be synonymous one with another. I had somebody say to me once, you sure you want to call it Integrity Christian Fellowship? You know, you really kind of, you know, you kind of set the bar a little high. And I said, you mean with the word integrity or Christian? Right? Those two words ought to be synonymous. And so we started the church so we can get a hold of our men, our transformers, being renewed in our minds. Deal with the issues that we might not deal with on a Sunday morning in mixed company, you know, but ask the hard questions. Are you loving your wife? Are you there for your kids? And then obviously not wanting to leave our ladies out, we started Mosaic. You know, and that's branched off into, we have Mosaic mornings and Mosaic moments, and then we have our Mosaic events on Tuesday nights where our ladies come together and disciple one another and challenge one another and grow from one another the way in which the body of Christ is supposed to. And it's been wonderful. It's been biblical. It's how we grow. As iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens the countenance of another. And so we started these ministries, and all these things that have been taking place over the last couple of years as we've been growing as a church, there's been a purpose to these things. It's not just been to fill time, but it's to fill hearts with the love of Jesus. And it's in 2005, I was carrying around this desire in me that wanted to do something just a little bit different, but not so different. And so we started Integrity Christian Fellowship, and we started our outreach programs and our children's programs and our men's programs and our women's programs and all the different things. And in the last couple of years, we've been able to touch lives and see people transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And it has been incredible. And people have walked away being more impressed with the people than one particular personality, which is awesome. But if we see, these are our ministries, folks. And we need to keep them going. We need to keep them going. You see, God put us together as a team, didn't he? That's what the community of Christ is called to be. And what needs to happen is we need to work alongside one another. Share in this vision of Integrity Christian Fellowship. Because we need to keep the ball going. You know where I'm about to go with this ball, don't you? And so if this ball is to represent our youth ministry and all of our children's ministry, how many know it's important that this ball does not drop on the floor? How many know it's important that this ball stays afloat and doesn't hit the ground? How many know it's important that we keep this thing going? Keep it going. Don't let it hit the ground. Don't let it hit the ground. Because there's lives attached to that. Keep it going. Don't let it drop. Don't let it drop. Because we also have our men's ministry. And we need to keep our men's ministry going as well. Don't let it hit the floor. All these different ministries that God has entrusted into our hands, folks. Don't let them hit the floor. Don't stop. If it hits the floor, pick it up and keep going. Don't forget the importance of the lives that are touched. And that are a part of what makes us Integrity Christian Fellowship. Keep it up in the air, folks. It's critically important. Lives are touched. Keep it up. Don't let it hit the floor. Feel free to move around. Keep it on the air. Don't let it hit the floor. There's lives that are touched, folks. Keep them up in the air. You might know the person who's going to be impacted by that ministry. Keep it going. Keep it going. Don't let it stop. Don't get tired. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep it going. We need help from everybody. Everybody needs to be a part of this. Nobody can be left out. Keep it going. Keep it going, folks. Lives are touched every time you pass that ball on. Don't worry about the lights. Keep it going. Don't worry about the play. Keep it going. It's ministry. It's ministry. It's ministry. Don't stop. Keep it up in the air. Okay. Good job, church. Good job, church. Good job, church. Now you know why I told our visitors, listen, this is a little different of a service this morning. And yet it's not. I had an idea for an announcement this morning, and this, yesterday morning, and then this morning it blossomed into a full-blown message in my heart. And so we're going to pick up in 1 Peter next week, but God just put something in my heart this morning that I want to share with you. I want to talk to you this morning about 10 things we learn from keeping our eyes on the ball. 10 things we learn from keeping our eyes on the ball in the same way that we just did. The first thing we learn from keeping our eye on the ball is that it's biblical. You see, ministry, it was never intended to be done by one. Ministry was always intended to be done by a team. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Or you can just listen on in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul writes and says, he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the sons of God to a mature man. You see, it is biblical for God to put something on my heart that makes me want to start a church and we create these ministries. It's biblical now to pass it off so that we as a body of Christ take ownership of it. What's critically important is in the same way that we didn't want that ball to hit the ground, we need to remember that those balls, they represent ministries. And what's critically important is that God has put us together as a team. Notice I couldn't be over here and over there and over here and over there and over there and keep the ball going by myself. It'd be impossible. But what we need to do is have a team of people so that the ball doesn't get dropped. Second thing we learn from keeping our eyes on the ball, we realize that it takes everybody's participation. Doesn't it? It takes everybody to participate. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul again writes, he says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. We all represent the body of Christ made up of individual people. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. For in fact, the body is not one, but many. And so if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the seeing be? And Paul goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that every single person has significant value in the body of Christ. Every single one of us here were born with unique gifting and unique personalities and unique ways in which to reach people and be extensions of the love of God. You see, as we're all participating and all getting involved, notice when the ball was over here, you got to rest over here. But when the ball was over here, then they got to rest over there. You see, in one moment, you might be working. In the other moment, you might be able to be resting, but you've got to be ready at any moment because the ball might be coming your way. And you see, what makes it easy in the body of Christ is when we're working together as a team, we can accomplish so much more. Being ready, being alert. The third thing we learn from keeping our eye on the ball, it demonstrates the need for many people in various places. Think about it. If we're all sitting on this side and the ball went over there, the ball got dropped. If we're all over here and it went over there, the ball got dropped. But you see, to have everybody strategically sent around, spread out all over the place, the ball doesn't drop, does it? And likewise in ministry, with all these different things that we're talking about, everybody needs to be a part. That's what God has ordained today for the local church, to be an extension of Jesus Christ. Think about it. If we were all equally spread out throughout the this congregation here, this sanctuary, isn't it impossible, if we were all properly spread out, wouldn't it be impossible for the ball to drop? Because we'd all be right there, you know? You see, where it gets dropped is where there's lack. It gets dropped when there's nobody there to fill the spot. And so somebody who was over here now needs to move over here, and he might be able to make that move, but if the ball goes back over there, he's going to go back over. And what ends up happening is this person gets exhausted and burnt out. And that's not the way that God desires for the church to operate one with another. But we all need to be a part. That's the way God designed the church. That's why he didn't give any one person all the gifts. Every one of us have different things. There's things in this church I just can't do nearly as good as you. But if you're not there to do it, I'll try to do it. It won't get done as well, but it'll take me away from the things I do well. Right? And so what we need to do is we need to work together as a body. That's why we started the church. We started the church not to be a social club. There's plenty of those. We started the church not just to be a religious institution. There's plenty of those. We started the church to be something effective and vibrant and living and moving and effective in the community. And so it demonstrates the need for many people to be in various places. The fourth thing that we learn from keeping our eye on the ball is the more people involved, the less people need to fill multiple spots. Just makes sense. I'll drink it. I was reminded of the amount of times I pick up the water and then don't drink it and put it down. So now I'm self-conscious of it. How many of you have ever noticed that? All right, all three of you, good. Thanks for the insecurity, folks. The more people involved, the less people needed to fill multiple spots. Hey, listen, we live on Long Island. Everybody knows what busy is here, doesn't it? Every one of us, how many can fill 30 hours in a 24-hour day? We all could. It gets overwhelming. It gets tiring. And then you throw the recession in and all of the burdens of that and the bills and the kids and the speaker virus and all the other stuff that gets passed around. Sorry, guys. I'm going to get the stomach virus in the last couple of months. We had a couple of weeks. Yeah. See, it's family. That's what we share together. But you throw all that stuff into the mix and it gets exhausting, doesn't it? Our calendars get full too quick, because everything is pulling from our attention, and you're spread out, and I know you are, and then the church comes knocking on the door and says, hey, listen, can you fill this spot? And you're thinking, oh, are you kidding me? Hey, I love God. I love the church. I'm committed here, but I just don't have any time. I understand that. I really do. But if everyone just did a little something, man, what we could accomplish. Man, we shouldn't have to beg for more Sunday school teachers. In a congregation this size, let's get all young people to stand up for one moment. You can stand on the chair this morning. Everybody stand on your chair. Yeah. Aren't they worth it, folks? Yeah. Aren't they worth it? They're not the future. Yeah. All right, come on down. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. You guys are the church of today. And you have just as much value as everybody else in this room. You're not a tag-along that comes around with your parents. You are the body of Christ. But if everyone does their part, everyone helps out in the different areas just a little bit, man, what we could accomplish together as a body. That's why we started the church, folks. That's why we started the church. That's why God put that burden on my heart to pass it off and raise up a group of people and say, we'll run with this. We'll impact these kids' lives. Because, man, they're worth it. The fifth thing that we learned from keeping our eye on the ball as we just did this morning is everybody is qualified to do something. Everybody is qualified to do something. Any 9-year-olds here this morning? Any 8-year-olds? Any 7-year-olds? 6? 5? 4? They're all in the nursery. No, you're not. How many of you young ones hit the ball this morning? You see, guys, the reality of it is everybody is qualified to do something in the church. Let me address our young kids for this morning. Do you realize the impact that you have on other kids who come into the church on a Sunday morning? Do you realize that as you raise the awareness about what is right and what is wrong to kids your age, do you know that that carries more weight than when an adult says it? It's true. When you model what it means to be a Christian young man or a Christian young woman, man, that preaches a better sermon than I can ever preach on a Sunday morning. You have tremendous value. You have something to bring to the church. Now, I'm going to be very dangerous as I go to this next side. How many are over 60? Over 70? 71? 72? 73? Keep them up if you're over there. 74? 75? 76? 77? 70? Did you get to hit the ball this morning? It didn't come your way. Okay, because my illustration. Helen, did you get the ball this morning? You missed it. Okay. John, did you get the ball this morning? You did. Actually, I saw you get hit in the back of the head, too. Sorry about that. Our attorney's over there. You can speak to him about it. How old are you, John?
74.
Everybody has something. And everybody's qualified at something. And obviously, this is a silly little game this morning, but the reality of it is, do you realize what you have learned in 74 years, in 77 years, in 76 years, in 55 years? Do you realize the world of grief that you can spare other people that have not yet walked in your shoes? Everybody is qualified to do something. I can't tell you what it's like to retire. Right? But man, there's a bunch of people around here who know the exact feelings of like, man, what do I do with my time? Especially when you put so much value in what you did, then all of a sudden it's kind of like, who am I now? Those kinds of feelings that rise to the surface, I can't address them. I can tell you what I've learned in seminary about it, but the reality of it is I've not walked in those moccasins. How in the world can I properly address that? But man, you can come alongside John or Helen or Nisha. Nisha didn't retire yet, I'm sorry. But people who have been there. Everybody is qualified at something. But if you're not here, that ball drops. If you're not here, that person falls through the crack. If you're not here to fill in on with our kids, who'll do it? See, we're a team. I'm passing the ball off to you. Keep it going, man. Don't let it stop. The sixth thing that we learned from keeping our eye on the ball is it was one of those very rare occasions that the church had one unified goal this morning. Right? The big picture, the big unified goal, keep the ball in the air. Now, some of them had a goal of hitting the light. I saw that. But we all had one unified goal this morning. Keep the ball in the air. And you see, there are so many things that can distract us in ministry. There's so many things that we can get so consumed with. How we come across, how we present, how we do this, how does the building look? Listen, all those things mean nothing. The big picture is seeing lives changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Raising up disciples of Jesus Christ that will in turn raise up more disciples of Jesus Christ. That's keeping our eyes on the ball. That's keeping the big picture in sight. That's what it's all about. Obviously, as a result of that, what happens? Jesus is glorified. But if we don't all become a part of that, and we all don't focus on the big picture, man, the ball's going to drop. And we've seen balls drop in churches all over America. 30 churches a week close down in the United States. Why? Because their eyes have gotten off the ball. It's got on a building. It's got on popularity. It's got on comfortableness. It's got on being politically sensitive. It's got its eyes on everything but the big picture. And it's glorifying God by making him known to those who don't know him, and making disciples out of the ones who do. Integrity Christian Fellowship, keep your eyes on the ball. Don't let it drop. One way it will definitely drop is if you don't participate. That's it. The leadership team in this church is only as good as the team that we're leading, right? And if we don't want to do anything, then the ball gets dropped. But that's what God's called us to keep the ball in the air, man. Keep focused. Don't let it hit the floor. The seventh thing we learn from keeping our eye on the ball is when we're keeping our eye on the ball, we're not noticing the little distractions and the differences of the people around us. You see, if we're looking up at the ball, we're not looking at the imperfections of the people around us. And that means that they're not looking at your imperfections either. Too many times we get distracted because of what we see around us, and it moves us off of the target, right? The little pet peeves, the little annoyances, the little divisive doctrines that spread into the church, all these little things that serve as nothing but distractions. And the moment we take our eyes off the ball and start dealing with this nitinoid pet peeve doctrine that somebody has, the ball gets dropped. And we miss the big picture. And so as we're keeping our eye on the ball, it's Paul in Philippians chapter 3 saying, man, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the mark for the goal of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. It's staying focused. It's keeping our eyes on the ball. How many of you know Paul, if anybody, was aware of dysfunction in the church? Right? It was the Apostle Paul. He dealt with Corinthian church. But he stayed focused on his mission. He stayed focused on his mission. The eighth thing that we learn from keeping our eyes on the ball is sometimes things get a little crazy and chaotic on the team. Isn't that right? We had people jumping over seats, you know, running up to here and putting the thing back in and bumping into each other, getting bopped in the head with the ball and all these other kinds of things. You know what? You know what that proves? The church isn't perfect, folks. That's why we say we're the perfect church for people who aren't, right? You see, when we're focusing on keeping our eyes on the ball, the reality is sometimes it might look a little crazy because we're dealing with people who are imperfect as you and me. And so we might bump into somebody. That's okay. It's normal. That's how God refines us. That's how God sanctifies us. That's how we learn to work with one another. You know what else we noticed as we were doing that little exercise? Every once in a while, the ball did hit the floor. But you know what we did? We didn't kill the ministry or the minister. Man, we just picked it up and put it back in play again. That's what we need to do. There are things that we're trying to do, you know, that sometimes things work, sometimes things don't work, sometimes people get hurt, sometimes people get encouraged. You're dealing with a bunch of imperfect people, and you know what? Sometimes the ball hits the floor, and man, we need to pick it up and just put it back in play. Because that's what we're called to do. The ninth thing that we learn from keeping our eye on the ball is that keeping our eye on the ball is much like praying for one another as well. It's much like praying for one another. You see, so-and-so might be going through a difficult time. Sometimes some of you have gone through situations that I sit back and think, my goodness, the grace of God has so engulfed that person. How in the world did they endure that? And they usually be the first one to say, man, people have been praying for me. You know, every once in a while, that person is the ball who needs our prayer. And it's a time, it's at that time where the body of Christ needs to come alongside and, man, hold their hands up like Aaron and Hur did to Moses. And don't let the ball drop because this person needs you. You're their family. That's where it says that we have to bear one another's burdens. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. What are we doing? We are the body of Christ coming alongside one another and bearing enjoying this journey of life together. And there's good times and bad times and hard times and sad times. Just like there is in every one of your families and mine as well. But if we're not here, and if we're not actively engaged in the community of Christ, it's so hard to really draw off of the life of the body and the blessings that come with that life, with that community. I mean, the reality of it is, and I don't want to scare anybody, but the reality of it is, if we're going to be together for a long time, some of us are going to go through some more really horrific times. It rains on the just and the unjust, the scripture says. And what God has given to us is obviously along with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are to comfort one another, the scripture says, with the comfort that we've received from the Lord. And so oftentimes, I've said this to a thousand times, that sometimes the grace of God comes in the form of what? People. And that's why the body of Christ needs to be there for each other. We're a family. Some family, you didn't pick them to be in your family. But they're your family. And that's all right, because they're as imperfect as you and I are. But we're the body of Christ. And so when we're praying for one another, and a prayer request goes out, so-and-so is going through this situation, man, don't let the ball drop with you. Pray for that person until God brings some kind of an answer. Don't let the ball drop with you. Because we're the body of Christ. The tenth thing that we learn, and it's probably one of the most important ones for us to realize, is that the ministries that we're doing, the ball represents people. People. That's why we do it. People who God loves. Mosaic is so much more than just a women's ministry. It's a body of ladies who Jesus loves, who Jesus died for. There's faces that make up Mosaic. That's why we called it Mosaic. There's a reason why we push Transformers, because behind the title of Transformers, there are men who maybe didn't have the father that you had, who didn't teach you, who didn't teach that person the way you've been taught. And man, he's just tripping up in life and he needs somebody to come alongside and say, man, I ain't perfect, but let me tell you some things I've learned. You see, the youth ministry is more than just a title, but it's these precious little faces that God has created and has a plan and a purpose for their lives. And so when we put up the, hey, look, we need some help in Sunday school, what we're saying is, man, look at this precious little face. Will somebody teach them about Jesus? Will somebody just love on them? Will somebody just be an example to them? Will somebody just be someone, a point of reference where these kids can come to and say, man, that's what a woman of God really is. That's what a man of God is. And when they go through the storms of life that we all do, man, they will knock on your door. You see, these ministries, these balls that we throw up in the air, man, let's not forget, they represent people. The moment we forget that, we have lost our focus as a church. Sorry, Cole. We have lost our focus. We must never, ever, ever, ever forget, church. The ministry is about people. It's about people. It's not about looking big. It's not about getting big. It's not about looking polished. It's about people. And the moment we forget that, the ball gets dropped. And programs get replaced with prayer. And prestige gets replaced with reaching out to the hungry and the hurting. And then we become just a stagnant church. And you know what? America's got enough of those. Now, I know that there are some creative people here this morning that, as I'm going through my 10, you probably came up with 10 of your own. And I don't want to rob the body. So I'm just wondering, as we went through this exercise, what observation, anybody had a different, just as a raise of hand, not a long, don't need a three-point sermon, but any observation that you noticed? Norm?
People immediately got excited.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, you know what? No, I'm used to, yeah, I appreciate that. You know what? Because I think I dropped one. I dropped the ball. I forgot one of them. One of them was ministry's fun. People, that was one of my points. Thank you, Norm. It's great minds think alike. Ministry ought to be fun. And you're right. People got excited. When we had it, man, it was just like laughing and good time. And yeah. John?
It paused when I saw a ball on the floor.
Yeah, good. That's a good point. That's good. Yeah, good point. Notice, the ball's on the floor and it hurts. It doesn't belong there. Yeah, Carol.
It's a little scary when it's coming at you.
Good point. Good point. I don't want to mess up. Listen, we're all going to mess up. Yeah. Excellent. Good point. Because it's our body. It's our responsibility. Excellent point. We don't need to be tapped. Man, just go for it. You see need? Fill it. Yep. Tom. Yeah. Good point. That's great. See, that's why I had to open it up to this, because I knew there's more. Good point. Sometimes God uses you and you don't even realize it. Good point. Yes. It was fun. Yes, it was fun. Absolutely. We don't do that in the house, though, right?
Maybe.
Yep.
That, Nick was disappointed and cried because he didn't get to participate.
Ooh, good point. Yeah.
There's a disappointment when you found that something really went well, like when you tell us about the bus, so that a lot of people felt like, wow, I should have been here. I wasn't doing anything that day.
Good point.
You feel a sense of disappointment when you don't participate.
That's a great point. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. One of the things we're going to be doing here after in next week, we're starting this book, this study in the book of Ephesians. And I really want to encourage every one of you to be a part. It is critically important for us to really get a hold of who we are in Christ. And then after that, we're going to go through spiritual gifts for 5 weeks. You know, one of the reasons people don't get involved in the church is usually we only really reach out to people who have certain spiritual gifts, maybe the gift of teaching for Sunday school or the gift of administration help out with something. And there's so many other spiritual gifts. But the problem is the church usually doesn't open or request the need for a lot of those gifts. And so because people aren't being tapped, they're feeling left out. And so one of the things we'll be doing is we'll be going through the spiritual gifts and defining what are your spiritual gifts, because God has given you and every one of us spiritual gifts, things that just become natural to you. They're kind of like a default setting for you. and they need to be operating within the body. Yep. Kathy.
If the whole body didn't participate, the ball would fall on the floor.
Yeah. That's right. We just close the doors at that point. Yep. Yes, little one. Yes. Ooh. She said, if it drops on the floor, Jesus will help you pick it up. Yeah, absolutely. God chooses to work with imperfect people, and you know, we're going to drop it on the floor once in a while. But yeah, Jesus is right there to pick it up. Norm?
If you put your full effort into it, it's actually less work because the ball went higher and you didn't have to hit it as many times.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, good. Good. Andy?
I like that everybody wanted to work together and plan together to keep the ball up and anticipate it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Trace?
I was
going
to say, if she can get that,
yeah.
We all drop the ball, but sometimes we're embarrassed, sometimes we're frustrated, sometimes we all break out. But if we know who to tap into for our strength to pick it back up, and if Leah could get it at such a small age,
right.
And be humble enough to just say, Lord, I dropped the ball.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, yesterday morning, as I was heading to the church for this confession time, okay? As I was heading to the church for the outreach for the children, I was nervous. I was really nervous because I was thinking, what if I don't know what to do? That's the God's honest truth. I've been doing this 13 years full time and then over 20, you know. I was nervous because I don't want to mess up. Everybody smile. You're qualified. But you know what? We're all aware of what we can't do. We're all aware of what we're not. And sometimes that becomes the very thing that hinders us from doing ministry. Gary?
Yeah, so many people participated that nobody really got tired.
Yeah.
Doing that.
That's right, man. Sharing the load. Man, that's absolutely. Yeah, Jen. Yeah.
Even we can be.
Absolutely.
They're dying to do so much and be involved. So I you know, Allison's going to come with me to Peru next trip.
Cool.
You
know, that's cool. Absolutely.
They can all be doing what we're doing.
And on that note, I'll give you a second. Tony's next. If our kids weren't here, the ball would have dropped. Because they kept the thing going. How many of our kids hit the ball this morning? Right? Great point. Tony? Yeah, good. Yeah, absolutely. John?
To go along with that, the more balls came away, the more you liked it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, the more that came our way, the more you could juggle, too, with the bigger team. All right? Anybody else? Yep, Carl?
We all had the same objective, to keep the ball up, but everybody had their own special touch.
Oh, good point. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and that's the importance of the different, everybody's got different gifts. You know, some of them can send it from the front row to the back. You know, absolutely. Anybody else? Michelle. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a good point because some people, you know, they're ready to like jump over six rows to get the ball. You know, and somebody else would be just like, no problem. When it comes my way, I'll deal with it. Which is right? Which is wrong? They're both right. It just shows the different differences in the body. Some people are like those extrovert people who are kind of like, you know, they're at their best. This is, I'll let you, you know, guess who this might be. When they got like 50 different things going on at the same time, right? I'm at my best when I'm like that. And the problem is not everything gets done really well, but a lot gets done. Kind of like a shotgun approach to ministry. It's like, let's like, get it all done, you know? But then every once in a while, you got those sharpshooters. They take them out one by one, you know? Right or wrong? No, just different. But you see, when the sharpshooter is working with the shotgun guy, everything gets done. And we all have venison for dinner. Yep. Andy, Andrew.
If you didn't have opportunity to touch the ball this time, it doesn't mean that they're permanently closed out.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Yeah, it just might not have come your way this time. Next week, it might come your way. That's a great point. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, good idea. Good point. Nobody got hurt. Not that I'm aware of, right? Nobody got hurt. You saw me walking through the door. You didn't know what in the world I was about to do. You know? We're all okay. We all kind of learned something. Nobody got hurt. Anybody else? Yep.
I have a question. After the service is over, do you think the kids can kind of like...
No. The balls stay here. You notice the hesitation. It's kind of like, yes.
Yeah.
It's when you know.
I think what was interesting is the more the balls went around, the more excited everybody got and wanted to participate.
That's right. Absolutely. It's contagious, isn't it? Church, you know, church needs to be, here's a word that we, some of us have been more familiar with than others lately. Church ought to be viral. Where it's kind of like, you know, we get a hold of what God's doing, and man, everybody just starts catching on. It's kind of like, oh my goodness, did you see what's going on? Lives are being changed, we're having fun, we're growing. It's like boom, boom. It's, you know what happens? God gets a body of people. You see, at the end of the day, we're really a bunch of nobodies who just got a hold of somebody. You know? And man, if we embrace that, if we realized what God can do with a bunch of nobodies, can you imagine the lives that would be changed? Could you imagine how far the touch of Jesus can reach our area? Yeah, I notice it. Yeah. Let's get one more. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Nobody judged. That's right. Absolutely. Nobody judged the way. And that ought to be the way church is. And here's the deal. Actually, a lot of us didn't get a chance to see how anybody else hit it because you were looking up to see where the ball was. You know? Yeah, good point. Good point. Father, thanks for tonight. God, Lord, I'm just humbled by the caliber of people that you have brought into this church that makes up Integrity Christian Fellowship. And Lord, at the same time, I am so charged up with what you can do with a bunch of nobodies that are just willing to keep their eye on the ball. God, I pray that, Lord, in the days ahead, that we remember this day. And that we realize how important of a part we are on the team. That we realize the shared responsibility that we have to model to our young ones, to grow ourselves, to be the husbands we need to be the wives we need to be the disciples that we need to be the ones who are able to reach out in our schools, in our homes, and in our workplaces, not shoving Jesus down the throat, but just being a light in dark places. Lord God, I thank you for this church. I thank you that this group of people could have gone anywhere this morning, but they came here. And I just am so thankful for them today. Lord, I just pray that you'd continue to breathe fresh vision into our church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.